Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the film's Rock Hudson, All That Heaven Allowed, Nam June Paik, Moon is the Oldest TV, and Matter Out of Place.
This week I would like to talk about nothing but documentaries. I've got three very interesting new documentaries. They're all good. A couple of them will appeal, well, one of them will appeal mainly to movie fans, and the others will appeal to, I hope, everybody. They're good movies, and they're worth seeing. And the first one is, again, the one that will appeal most to movie fans because it is very much about Hollywood. And it's called Rock Hudson, All That Heaven Allowed. And yes, it is a biographical documentary about the great movie star Rock Hudson. And I have to say, when I was young, he was very, very big in the 50s. He was one of the absolute highest grossing stars in Hollywood. And the sort of conventional wisdom that I absorbed, I was a very young kid in the 50s, was that he was just a pretty face, that he wasn't really a good actor. Well, I guess he was a pretty, pretty face. But my gosh, along the course of his career, he did some excellent acting as well. I have certainly known that in my adult life and my life as a movie critic. So I respect him a lot. But one of the things that is best known about Rock Hudson, and which is in fact the central focus of this documentary, is the fact that he was gay. And he was gay at a time when in Hollywood you absolutely could not be openly gay. It would be a career ender. You could not be a movie star. You could possibly be one of the tiny few little number of people who played sort of character parts and bit parts and were regarded as hilariously funny. You could be sort of semi-openly gay if you were one of those people. But to be a big a movie star with a reputation as what used to be called a ladies' man, like Rock Hudson, you could not be openly gay. So he was certainly not openly gay. He was very much in the closet. However, pretty much everybody in Hollywood seems to have known the secret. One thing that tends to happen when people make documentaries about Rock Hudson is they play up the ironies. They show the little veiled references to gayness that lurk in some of these movies, some of which he appeared to enjoy the irony himself. For example, he did some movies with Doris Day when it was very, very much the idea was he was the big ladies man. But sometimes in one of the movies he did with Doris Day, he was a big ladies man who was pretending to be a gay man who was secretly a big ladies man. And of course, Rock Hudson himself was gay. So all kinds of ironies there. And it's probable that Rock Hudson enjoyed these ironies himself. Again, in his private life, pretty much everybody seems to have known that he was gay. But publicly, that could not be admitted. And one of the things that this documentary covers is the fact that, as so often happened with gay movie stars in those days, the studio engineered a marriage for him. He was very publicly married, actually, to a secretary of his agent. Didn't last all that long, but at least the public could understand that he was married, and therefore they could comfort themselves that he was probably not gay. So things like that, that went on in Hollywood all the time in those days, and I'm afraid to some extent still goes on, are all covered very interestingly in this movie. Now, I have to say that the title of this movie, Rock Hudson, All That Heaven Allowed, by the way, it was directed by Stephen Kijak, is a reference to one of Rock Hudson's very greatest movies, which is called All That Heaven Allows. It was directed by one of the greatest of all movie directors, I would say, certainly one of the greatest of all Hollywood directors, Douglas Sirk. And Rock Hudson appeared in a large number of movies for Douglas Sirk. They had a great collaboration, which included minor films like Has Anybody Seen My Gal, which is a comedy, by the way, and Sirk's specialty, soap opera-type films, movies like Magnificent Obsession, Written on the Wind, The Tarnished Angels, Battle Hymn, and of course the great movie All That Heaven Allows. There are quite a few clips in this movie from All That Heaven Allows, even more from Magnificent Obsession. So again, if you're a fan of old Hollywood movies, you'll get to bask in some of those. There are also some clips from what I regard as the greatest movie Rock Hudson ever made, probably, a movie called Seconds, which was a kind of a horror science fiction movie that he made for John Frankenheimer in the 1960s. And it is an unbelievably great movie, and there are some terrific clips from it, and it shows Rock Hudson doing some of his greatest acting, just superb movie acting that he did. So the movie covers his life. He was born in the Midwest. Rock Hudson, surprise, surprise, was not his real name. That was invented by an agent of his. And there's quite a lot in this movie about that agent with whom Rock Hudson had kind of a conflicted relationship. And it tells about how when he was a very young man, he had a dream, literally a dream. Or he dreamed that he was a precious stone with spotlights shining upon it. And he realized he could do it. He could become a Hollywood movie star. And that dream came true. So maybe that's where the movie gets a little bit corny. But, you know, hey, Rock Hudson apparently had that dream. And that's one of the reasons why he pressed on. And he eventually became this huge, hunky Hollywood leading man, as they used to say. There are also clips from late in his career when he was in Dynasty for a while. So anyway, that's kind of interesting as well. Now, Rock Hudson died of AIDS, and the movie kind of brings out the fact that he did not exactly trumpet this to the world that he had AIDS, but he was the first big Hollywood type celebrity who became famous for having AIDS. And when he died, it was one of the things that persuaded the then president, Ronald Reagan, to finally acknowledge this horrifying plague, because he was a good friend of Ronald Reagan. And Reagan finally then started to put some government muscle into research in some way to control and ultimately cure AIDS. So Reagan came very reluctantly to that. And it's not clear that Rock Hudson ever played an active role in this, but apparently it was Hudson's publicly dying of AIDS that persuaded Reagan to finally put some government muscle into this campaign against AIDS. So that's another fascinating aspect of Rock Hudson's life. All of this is covered in the documentary Rock Hudson, All That Heaven Allowed. It's not a great documentary. It is very sort of ordinary in its structure, but it tells a fascinating story, and there are some superb movie clips in it. So I really recommend it for anybody who loves movies. Our second movie today is about another area of the visual arts, about video art. And the title is Nam June Paik, Moon is the Oldest TV. Nam June Paik was a Korean artist in his very early career. He expected to be a classical pianist and composer, and that's what he was expecting to be, and he loved modernist music. And he was apparently very, very gifted. We see him playing a bit of modern music on the piano, and he was really, really good, really quite marvelous. But then he got moved over into another area of the arts, in a very experimental area of the arts, video art. And this was unknown when Nam June Paik first came along. What he did was he helped to invent the field of what became video art. Now, video art is simply art which is done with video. We are all familiar with art that is done with painting, with art that is done with musical instruments, art that is done with people acting on a stage, for example. And video art is simply art that is done using video as your medium, the same way you might use painting or a musical instrument. But that was unknown when he came along. In fact, TV was pretty new when he came along. But he helped to invent this. And he used to say, I interviewed Nam June Paik once, and he was just a terrific guy. He was Korean, by the way, but he migrated to the United States and had most of his career in New York, where there was a very active experimental art scene. He used to say that he worked with technology in order to learn how to hate it more properly. So he was not somebody who loved TV. He was somebody who wanted to subvert TV and video and all that kind of technology. He, as a very experimental person, as a person who really wanted to do serious art, and also, by the way, very humorous art in a lot of ways. He resented the fact that television is a one-way medium. We turn on the TV and it talks to us and it shows us things, and we can't talk back to it. We can't manipulate it the way it manipulates us. And that was really one of the absolutely fundamental motivations that he had. And a turning point came when, as a very young artist, he took the back off a TV set and realized you could fool around with those innards and you could change it. And you could change it from being something that manipulated you and talked to you and tried to persuade you into something that was maybe abstract, into maybe something that didn't make sense at all or made sense in very different ways. And that was what he wanted to do. So he fell into a circle of New York artists, very experimental. Yoko Ono was one of this group, for example, various others. And he started to work along the lines that they were working in, very experimental, very subversive, trying to overturn the rules of art, almost lifelong. A friend of his was the musician John Cage, one of the most experimental musicians who ever lived, and who did things in music similar to some of the things that Nam June Paik was doing in video. Cage, for example, wanted to use chance techniques. He wanted to get beyond his own tastes and preferences and ego and see what kind of music you could create that way. So he would use haphazard techniques, chance techniques, randomness techniques to create sound. And the idea behind his idea was that the idea behind his music was, to a large extent, any sound is beautiful if you just listen to it carefully and decide that it's beautiful. John Cage used to say, if you go out and stand on a street corner at a certain hour of the day and listen to the traffic, if you want to hear that as beautiful music, you will hear it as beautiful music. Well, Nam June Paik was doing sort of similar things in video, creating new things that had never been seen before, things that didn't make sense in ordinary ways, things that would stretch your mind, stretch your sensibilities, stretch your sense of what can be beautiful and what can be ugly and that kind of thing. And so that's what he did in the field of video art for many, many, many years, always working against conventional ideas of what video technology can do and should do, and trying to create his own paradigms of what video art can do and should do. Again, some of his work was hilariously funny, and he really was a very, very humorous person. But he was always had this very serious agenda, this idea of making it so that video technology and different kinds of electronic technologies are not manipulating us, that we can strike back. We can do things to it as well. And that's what he wanted to do. Now, the title of the movie is Nam June Paik, Moon is the Oldest TV. And by the way, the movie was directed by Amanda Kim. And Moon is the Oldest TV was a work that he did when he one day realized, my gosh, people have been looking at the moon for countless thousands, perhaps millions of years, the same way we look at TV. We just look at it. We can't sort of do anything about it. So Moon, in a way, is the oldest TV. But with actual TV, you can fight back. You can manipulate it. You can change it into something of your own, something artistic, something experimental. So that's why the movie is called Nam June Paik, Moon is the Oldest TV. We don't just look at TV the way we look at the moon. We can change it. We can turn it into something that is much more exciting in its artistic properties than conventional TV is. I had a great time looking at Nam June Paik, Moon is the Oldest TV. It's a very funny movie. It's a very exciting movie. And if you have any interest in any kind of experimental and unconventional and unorthodox art at all, have a look at it. It's a really marvelous look at video art, which I wish more people were familiar with. It's an exciting form of contemporary art. And the last movie I'd like to talk about today, another documentary, but otherwise very different, is called Matter Out of Place. And it is an Austrian film directed by Nicholas Gerhalter. And it is, as the title might suggest, Matter Out of Place. That is a term which was dreamed up years ago by a philosopher to refer to garbage. That which we consider the things that we don't want in our lives, that we're always cleaning out of our lives, the garbage, the trash. That is what is meant by matter out of place, and that is the title of this movie. And it is a movie which is all about garbage and trash, but more than that, it's about the efforts that human beings make to keep this matter out of place, out of our lives. And the movie travels to a whole lot of different destinations. There are places in Asia, there are places in Europe, there are places in the United States, a whole lot of different places where we see people doing all the different kinds of things that people do to get rid of the garbage, to get rid of the trash, to keep it out of the way. Sometimes we see a handful of people who are just working on cleaning up some little, tiny little patch of land somewhere or other. And other times, and these are, I think, the most interesting parts of the movie, we see huge, massive efforts by huge teams of people and huge amounts of machinery and equipment to clean up enormous enormous amounts of garbage and trash that has to be gotten out of the way, the matter out of place that has to be kept out of place. We see people doing underwater cleanups. We see people doing desert cleanups. We see people doing urban cleanups. Sometimes we see people working almost primitive kind of methodologies. You see huge, gigantic dump trucks bringing in huge, gigantic loads of trash and garbage and dumping them out into huge, gigantic dumping grounds. And then setting the stuff on fire and trying to get rid of it that way. And, of course, creating pollution that way. So that raises a whole other set of problems. And other times we see what appear to be pretty high-tech methods of getting rid of garbage and trash. But that is what this whole movie is about. And one thing I want to stress about Matter of Place, if you have any interest in the idea of getting rid of garbage, of trash, of how people deal with that in the contemporary world, then look at it for that reason. But a lot of times the images on the screen are simply fascinating, things I've never seen before. And there they are, very long, leisurely, long takes with the camera back so that you see everything without interruption. And I just found it riveting. Fascinating documentary in cinematic terms, as well as in just sort of social science terms and physical science terms. So I talked about three documentaries today, and Matter Out of Place is one of the best of the three. They're all excellent. But this is a fascinating movie to look at, a fascinating movie to think about, and you're going to learn stuff from it too. So that is my very non-fictional story this week, Joe.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Rock Hudson, All That Heaven Allowed, Nam June Paik, Moon is the Oldest TV, and Matter Out of Place.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.